back into session. Back from our extended lunch break. In the interest of transparency, we had a continued discussion of what was discussed on the record. Hopefully we may have done some wordsmithing of some of the language that we had been discussing when we were in recession previously. So with that, I'm going to call on Mr. Reed.
Okay, that's better. Thank you.
Mr. Reed, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Chairman. I would like to withdraw my original motion, but I do have a new amendment, motion to amend. That's okay with the seconder, and there's no objection from the rest of the council.
So is there any objection from Dr. McKenzie or any other council member to Mr. Reed withdrawing his pending motion to amend?
No objection for me.
Thank you very much, Doctor. If anyone objects, please raise your hand. I see none. So Mr. Reed, please make your replacement motion to amend.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Chairman. I move that the council adopt alternative section 4.1.1.2.4, option 2, suboption 2D, 100% coverage as the preferred alternative for Amendment 23. This coverage will be required the first four fishing years following the effective date of Amendment 23 to establish a baseline of accurate and precise catch information for the fishery, and thereafter until a subsequent council action modifies coverage rates. This coverage selected is a target coverage rate, understanding that waivers may be needed to be granted in limited circumstances and for good cause only. The necessary coverage to support administration of the fishery has primacy. What do you do to me? Where'd you go? Wait a minute. I got to start over. Okay, doctor.
Yeah, I saw that jump do. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. Let's try this again. I move that the council adopt alternative section 4.1.1.2.4, option 2, suboption 2D, 100% coverage as the preferred alternative for Amendment 23. This coverage is a target for the first four fishing years following the effective date of Amendment 23 to establish a baseline of accurate and precise catch information for the fishery, and thereafter until a subsequent council action modifies coverage levels. This coverage selected is a target coverage rate, understanding that waivers may need to be granted in limited circumstances and for good cause only. Target coverage rates are subject to available agency funding and congressional appropriation. In year three, a review of the target coverage rate would commence. Funding for this coverage will be provided at the following rates of industry funding. Years 1 through 4, up to 100% coverage of all trips. Industry funding for EM, equipment and review costs at 0% and ASM at 0%. In the absence of sufficient federal funding, the default coverage rate is 40% of trips funded by the industry. Year 5 and beyond, the default coverage rate of 40% based on NMFS evaluation for fiscal year 2020 would be in place unless replaced by the result of the review as determined by the council. I need a second, and I don't know if I need any additional rationale or not.
Seconded by Terry Alexander. Maybe just a slight rationale to educate some people if possible, or we could ask someone else to provide that rationale.
Well, my rationale would be to cover up a lot of the concerns of the shortfalls of the original amendment, and in order to clean up the language to meet certain criteria that we need to cover.
Okay, I'm going to call on Dr. Sissonwine, raised his hand. Now, now before, what I'm trying to do is get make sure the public understands the changes we made prior to going out to public comment. So, Dr. Sissonwine.
Thank you. This is purely a question. In the description under years 1 through 4, it says, in the absence of sufficient federal funding, the default coverage rate is 40% of trips funded by the industry. What if the federal funding covers 60%? Does that mean that the industry has no obligation? Or does it mean the industry covers 40% to bring it up to the target of 100? Thank you.
Mr. Reed, you want to attempt that one?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Well, Dr. Mike, the intent is to have no industry expense. In my opinion, would be if there is 60% federal funding, that is above the default rate of 40%, and there would be no industry obligation at all. That would be my understanding of a lot of work that we all just did.
Yeah, that was my understanding too. And unfortunately, I couldn't raise this before we had to get off that call, but I think that has to be clarified because it could be interpreted either way. I think it's easily clarified, but that is necessary. Thank you.
Seeing no, Dr. McKenzie also has got a hand up just before I go to the pub. Dr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to note that I did not second this change one, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm opposed to it. I given the nature of the changes involved, I think the process which we followed to clarify these issues was sound, but I just wanted to have some time to think about this before I come down on these positions. So I'm just reserving my right to vote either way on this, but I feel that the process itself was sound. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much. All right, with that, with the motion to amend pending, gonna go out to the audience. Gib Brogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gib Brogan with Oceana. We have some concerns about this. Number one, the inclusion of the 40% standard that the PDT analysis and the EIS shows doesn't do the job. It shouldn't be in there even as a default measure. This amendment should only include coverage levels that will do the job. And so we have concerns about that. Dr. Sissonwine's question about the cumulative effects of funding above the 40% is also a concern. We should be pooling the available funding in an effort to reach that level. There's a concern there that we'll never get to the necessary coverage levels of 100%. The last one goes to the nuts and bolts of congressional appropriations. And in our experience and over the last few years, the subsidies that have come from Congress for this fishery have been specific that they are to absorb the industry's obligation. And by the read of this motion, the industry obligation is just the 40%. And I have trouble seeing how Congress is going to recognize the need for 100% coverage here. And so we oppose this motion and support the original motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maggie Raymond, then Jeff Smith, then George LaPointe, then Allison Lorenz.
Mr. Chair, Maggie needs to re-enter her PIN for her cell phone, so you might want to move on to another speaker.
Okay, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep, thank you. So I appreciate where this motion's trying to go, but I feel like I need to say that at the outset here that, you know, many have said that we just can't afford to fix the groundfish monitoring program, and we believe strongly we can't afford not to. I feel like fisheries managers are flying blind right now with biased and inaccurate information generated by our current monitoring program, and it's undermining our ability to effectively manage the groundfish fishery, and it's feeding bad data into our stock assessments. So I think that's the problem we need to fix here. I also think it's important to point out that I understand the maker of the motion doesn't want industry to absorb any costs. According to the FMP, industry was supposed to be responsible for funding beginning in 2012. I think that 100% of the monitoring costs have been covered for six of those years and 85 for the other two. So I think at some point industry needs to start bearing some of the costs of monitoring this fishery. With that being said, we certainly share the concerns that people have raised about the costs and industry's ability to cover them, and we are committed to trying to help with that. But we really feel like we have to fix the monitoring program before we're going to continue to put public and private money towards this issue. With that being said, I want to point council members to our written comments and the conversations I've had with several council members that the Nature Conservancy is committed to bringing several million dollars to the table to offset industry costs for the purchase and installation of electronic monitoring equipment. I think the PDT analysis estimated that that would be about $2 million. And that if that $2 million were available, then electronic monitoring would be a cost-effective alternative for all vessels. Without that subsidy, I believe it was boats that fish less than 20 days a year, it wouldn't be a cost-effective option. We think it's the way to go, and we're willing to help support that. We have done a preliminary analysis with some legal help to look at how private money can be brought into a public-private partnership. We've had some initial conversations with the ASMFC on how we might be able to bring funds into their reimbursement program that they're currently running. And we've had several conversations with supporters who are committed to help fund this transition to a comprehensive monitoring program. We are ready to go, but we feel like we really need to fix the monitoring program so that it meets the needs of the FMP and it provides scientists and managers the information they need to effectively manage the fishery. We believe the 100% coverage levels proposed in the motion does that, and we are concerned that the default level of 40% does not. I don't think there's anything in the EIS that indicates that 40% coverage provides managers with what they need. It's clear 25% is not getting the job done, and my recollection of the analysis was going to 50% might actually make the problem worse. So I support what's being proposed here for the first couple of years and hope people will reconsider that default level considering the information that's been presented in the EIF. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, George LaPointe.
George, you're muted.
There it is. Excuse me. My apologies. I don't know what happened. I clicked it like six times. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. George LaPointe with Blue Harvest Fisheries. First of all, thanks to the council for this amended motion. I support what is being proposed. It addressed a couple issues we raised in our comments. One is the impacts of 100% coverage or high levels of coverage on the industry, and it addresses that. Dr. Hare addressed the issue of waivers if we can't find enough people. And I share the concerns about coverage levels, but with the review in year three, I think that is something we can address to make sure we get good coverage levels. And the way this is set up for year four and beyond, I think will also help with it provides some certainty for people who have been providing funding that this won't go on forever. So thanks to the council for this, and we support the amendment.
Thank you. Allison Lorenz.
Thank you, Chairman. We too understand the intent behind this motion to minimize the economic burden on the industry, but we're also concerned about including the 40% as the default coverage for years 1 to 4. 40% coverage doesn't meet the goals and objectives of the amendment. The crux of the motion is to develop a baseline of accurate data, which would only be possible under 100% coverage. And we support establishing a baseline with 100% coverage and using the congressional funds to do so, and not relying on a 40% default coverage rate. So we support the original motion. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Evan Newkirk.
Hey, I got you guys.
Yes.
Hold on. So I think that nothing but 100%, as long as we're in a sector-based system, is acceptable. And a lot of the damage has been done by the boats that have been fishing for the last 5 to 10 years. And for them to say that they can't afford the coverage, I think is completely unacceptable. It's a problem. The discard is a problem. It's proven that it's a problem. And 40% is not acceptable in any way. It needs to be 100. I don't get how people can even think about trying to avoid it. Is it anything but 100% is unacceptable to me.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Evan. Ben Martens and then Vito Gigoloni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the council's done a lot of great work on this. And while I also have some concerns about the 40% as the baseline, I think that if this is what it takes to move something forward that protects the industry, the small boats, the big boats, everybody, and we really do come together to make sure that we have the funding to keep that 100% to 4 years, I think this is going to answer a lot of our questions. So I hope we can move this forward. I hope we can then on the other side of it come together and make sure that we got the money flowing in to support that 100% and getting us all there. But I do think that addressing the question that Dr. Sissonwine brought up about how we deal without the full funding and what that looks like, maybe we can leave that up to the feds. But I do think there probably needs to be a little bit more clarity around that in the year 1 through 4 as to what happens if we don't have all the funding that we need. And you know what portion of that the boats may need to participate in coverage. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ben. Mr. Gigoloni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Gigoloni, Northeast Seafood Coalition. The coalition submitted extensive comments. We still believe that it's quite subjective based on what you've got in the DEIS. Everyone that can interpret it the way they'd like. We would assert that the use of Gulf of Maine cod as the example stock is a weak way to approach what people would call statistically significant. So we continue to believe that to support any of these coverage rates under the DEIS, as if there is definitive information that we're not properly managing this fishery, we would beg to differ with that. However, we recognize that the funding is there now to answer that question so that the hypotheses can be tested. So we support the motion for that reason alone. But the 40%, let's all remember that this is a trade-off here from what we're seeing is, okay, everyone that believes that there's a problem, you're getting 100% coverage for 4 years. But don't forget that we've got an insolvent fishery on the day. I shouldn't say the whole fishery, but there's a significant portion of people, if we don't get a more effective and efficient monitoring system in place, that will not be able to survive under even 40%. But we recognize that that is status quo right now, and we've been beg, borrowing, and stealing in this fishery ever since the quotas were reduced by up to 95%. So for that reason, this is a lesser of all evils. The 40%. Isn't justified in the DEIS. It isn't, neither is 100, neither is 75, but 40% the status quo, and it's a financial situation at this point. It's still going to be more than what the industry could afford if we had a good affordability study done, and we recognize the caveats in that, and maybe we can work over the next 4 years to accomplish that. But I think that this is an excellent balance. Well, I wouldn't call excellent, but it's pretty clear the writing's on the wall that this is a balance that may get over the hump and solve a lot of people's suspicions.
Thank you, Vito. Angela Sanfilippo.
Angela, you are unmuted.
Angela, can you hear us? Tom, is he unmuted?
Hi, John. Yes, I'm showing her as unmuted. I'm not quite sure what's going on. She must be having a problem on her end.
She's the last one with her hand up to speak from the audience, so we'll give it another minute. If not, we'll come back to the council. Okay, wait, okay. Maggie Raymond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank Eric, maker of the motion, for his strong, very strong comments on his original amendment in support of having, you know, no cost to the industry. I would like to see the language in the second sentence in year 1 through 4 clarified according to the statement that Mr. Reed made in response to Dr. Simpson's comments about that, because I think that interpretation is still open based on some of the comments that I heard from others who have commented on the amendment. So having said that, we urge the council to support this amendment, provided that clarification in that sentence is provided. And I just want to point out that in case anybody doesn't know this, when you have to make comments through the telephone system like I do, if you disconnect for any reason like I do when you're on the break, you have to enter a new audio PIN number because a new one is generated. And if you don't do that, then that's why there's been trouble with Tom unmuting me. So just for reference to other people who might have, and just to point out that I'm not a complete idiot at working the system. Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie. I go back to Angela. All right, next up is Jackie O'Dell.
Hang on, Mr. Chair, I thought I unmuted her, but let me check.
Could the council members put their hands down? We're just calling on the public as of right now. It's getting confusing when different hands are going up and down. So please, if you're a council member, we haven't come back to the council yet.
Mr. Chair, it appears that Jackie got disconnected somehow. I don't see her on the list any longer.
Okay, why don't we try Angela again?
She is unmuted, as far as we can tell.
Angela, can you hear us? All right, while we're waiting for Jackie to try and get reconnected, I just wanted to turn to Mr. Neese who may have some friendly language to clarify that sentence in question in the year one through four sentence. So, Mr. Neese?
So if Sherry will hide the GoToWebinar toolbar so we can see that year to one to four. So the last sentence, if she scrolls up, you can see the suggested text. In the absence of federal funding sufficient to achieve a minimum of 40% coverage rate, the industry will fund the coverage needed to the industry will fund the additional coverage needed to achieve 40% combined ASM and NEFA. So if you add the word additional before coverage, we'll fund the additional coverage.
Mr. Reed, any objection to that? And you're a seconder, Mr. Alexander?
No.
Sherry, that sentence would replace in the amendment up where it says in the absence of sufficient federal funding, it would replace that last sentence there. Yes, that one. So the way I'm interpreting this is if there's zero federal funds, the industry pays for whatever is needed to get to 40. If there's enough federal funds for 39%, the industry pays for that additional 1%. That's what I'm trying to do with this motion. I see Mitch has his hand up. I don't know if it works.
Yep. Attorney McDonald. Attorney McDonald, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't unmute myself. So it's a related issue to what Tom is raising here. I think his sentence addresses his issue, but it's the context of this that I wanted to have addressed, and I addressed this earlier, that the context of this motion is that the funds that we're talking about are reimbursing the industry for their costs. That is an important distinction for Anti-Deficiency Act purposes. The industry-funded monitoring amendment identified what the agency's costs were and said all the other costs are the industry's. And this funding that we've been talking about, as I mentioned earlier, is in this context of the current mechanisms, which are reimbursement mechanisms. So if that could be reflected somewhere in the motion, it would be good. And as an example, where it says in the opening paragraph in the third sentence, this coverage selected as a target coverage, understanding that waivers may be granted. And it says coverage rates are subject to available agency funding, congressional appropriation, sort of adding in there for reimbursement of industry costs, I think would be helpful to, for reimbursement or other appropriate arrangement for industry costs. I think that would be helpful to make that clear and that we're not stepping afoul of the provisions that we've already set up that already address the Anti-Deficiency Act concerns for costs.
I'm going to call on Mr. Neese. He may have some language that may address that.
Yeah, if there's better language in a different spot, that would be great. I think somebody's pointing out it may not be the best spot for it.
I'm not quite ready, Mr. Chair. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Okay. All right. I'm going to call on Mr. Pentney.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. With respect to the comment Mitch just made, I agree that it would help if we can clean up the language in the year one to four bullet. But I think the sentence in the main paragraph that says target coverage rates are subject to available agency funding and congressional appropriations should stay as it is. Because inherent in that is not just the funding that we would use to reimburse sector costs, as Mitch described under the current model, but also the availability of funding on the agency side to cover our shoreside costs. If we don't have the available, you know, if the appropriations are not sufficient for us to cover our own costs, regardless of the of whether it's 100% or something less, then we won't be able to, you know, effectively staff that level of coverage. So I read that sentence as primarily focused on our ability to manage the and operate the program. And then I think it's the latter part that gets at the issue of reimbursing industry for their costs, either up to or above 40%.
So, Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Neese again.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second here. The question I have for Mitch is if we were to look at the year 1 to 4 language, if we were to say up to 100% coverage of all trips, and then said if funds are available, NIMS will reimburse fishermen 100% of the costs for EM and ASM.
I think that gets to the intent. It's difficult to do this on the fly, but I think that does enough so that we can address it when we're drafting the regulations.
So give me a minute. I'll try and get it to Sherry.
I'm calling I know, Mr. Pentney, if you left your hand up, you want to comment again.
No, Mr. Chairman, I thought we were instructed never to put our hands down once we put them up.
It just magically disappeared, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess while, since I have the floor and you called on me, and we're wordsmithing this on the, yeah, on the fly, I think part of the issue now is you've got a sentence that says industry funding for EM at 0% and ASM at 0%. And then you've got another sentence that says if funds are available, NIMS will reimburse fishermen up to 100% of costs for EM and industry fund and presumably ASM. Maybe what you to kind of, I don't know, clean that up a little bit, which because it seems a little clunky, is to change that second sentence to say industry reimbursement for EM at 100% and ASM at 100%. And then in the absence of sufficient federal funding to achieve a 40% coverage rate, the industry will fund the additional, that part is probably okay. I don't know if that helps or not, sorry. I'll stop talking.
So, Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Pentney hit on something that the staff was trying to figure out in the background, is that I think the second sentence definitely needs to be either deleted or edited along the way Mike suggested.
Because the maker of the motions to make sure that that's okay with maker and the seconder, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Ms. Denise, or you have suggestions of what's better, to delete that sentence or to...
I was going to ask the RA to repeat his comment. Okay. Or suggestion.
All right, I think it was, yeah, it was, so it would read, up to 100% coverage of all trips. Industry reimbursement for EM, equipment and review costs, at 100%. And ASM at 100%. And then in the absence of federal, I think the next sentence is fine.
Give us a second. Okay, Sherry, then delete the sentence that says that one right there. Yep. And then delete the very last sentence. If funds are available, NIPS will reimburse. And then at the end of the second sentence, I suggest adding the word right after ASM, just add the word costs. Thank you.
And then, Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Penney, if I may.
Sure.
Could I suggest one additional tweak to be consistent with the idea of we're focused on reimbursement? The sentence after where the cursor is blinking, in the absence of federal funding sufficient to achieve, rather than sufficient to achieve, what we're talking about is sufficient to reimburse a minimum of 40% coverage. The industry will fund the additional coverage needed to achieve 40%. I think that's consistent with the intent, because we're not talking about achieving a 40% coverage rate. We're talking about reimbursing sectors for a minimum of 40% coverage rate. I don't know, Tom, what you think of that.
I think your suggestion is perfect. Probably the first time I ever said that about an RA.
I was just going to say that. So is that language, Mr. Reed, okay? And Mr. Alexander?
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Mr. Alexander?
Yeah, can you hear me now, Eric? Because I was muted by the organizer. Sorry.
Is that okay, Terry?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay. Attorney McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know, at the risk of sort of, that's not going to be more complicated. So the one concern I have is that if there were some other federal mechanism other than reimbursement, I wouldn't want this to sort of pin the see into this one mechanism. Now, I don't know of another mechanism that exists,
but it may be easily fixed by, after saying federal reimbursement, adding or other mechanism for 100% of the other funding, I guess, for 100% EM and 100% of ASM. So it'd be federal reimbursement or other funding mechanism for 100% of EM and 100% of ASM costs.
That okay, Mr. Reed, Mr. Alexander?
Perfect.
Good with me.
All right. So now I'm going to go back. What my intention now is, I think we've wordsmithed this to death. I know Jackie O'Dell and Angela were disconnected, and so I'm going to call on them for comment. Miss O'Dell.
Hi, can you hear me? All right, we should proceed to get rid of the. Yep, thank you. Okay, sorry, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I ran to Angela's office with my computer, and I have Al Catone and Joe Orlando, and maybe some others who want to speak. Thank you for taking this opportunity. We were having some significant technical difficulties, so they have my computer now. Hold on 1 minute. Yeah, Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Joe Orlando. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Joe. Yep.
All right. Thanks again. My name is Joe Lando. I've been a Gloucester fisherman for 44 years, plus I'm president of Sector 2. It was said earlier, I got a comment on this because, you know, in 2012, it was supposed to be fully rebuilt and we were supposed to be paying for this. It was said earlier that, you know, we should be paying since then, but that's not the case. The case was that the fishery didn't rebuild 2012. That's why we shouldn't be paying for this. And to say that the guys that are fishing right now have ruined this fishery is not true. It's far from the truth. Look where we come to. We got all kinds of fish back. We're getting all kinds of fish back, except maybe Gulf of Maine cod. We've come a long way. I think we're doing great. You know, and for people to say that we're ruining this fishery is irresponsible. It's not true. Plus, look, you guys are going to put your heads together and get this done right, because we can't afford this. You know, the last five times that I've been out with some of my colleagues here, we stuck $1,000-$1,200 a day. If we had to pay $700 a day and then throw, you know, mileage on it and training and this COVID that's going on right now, you know, it's going to be a lot more money. I mean, it's not that we don't want observers. We'll take observers all you want.
Mr. Orlando, if I can just interrupt you. So the motion pending would not require you to pay anything for the next 4 years. So they're not sticking you with a $700 bill. So what you're speaking to right now is that you're not going to have to pay for the next several years.
You better get your act together for year 4.
I support that 100%.
Okay.
If you don't have to pay for that, as long as for the whole period of time you got up there, that we don't have to pay for it. And I just want to make a strong impression on this by saying that the guys that are left right now fishing, they're not ruining this fishery. That statement was so irresponsible, and I am mad. And my colleagues here are mad on that, because we have done everything by the law. There's not one case pending right now where anybody's been throwing fish away and ruin this fishery. That's not true. So I just wanted to express my concerns, Mr. Chairman. I thank you for that. And like I said, I support this 100%. If I don't have to pay, I don't see how anybody cannot support it. But if we have to pay for it, you know, I'd like to have my son maybe come back and fish in this fishery again. But if he's going to pay $1,000 a day and have a crew member too, how do you do that? I mean, you really got to fix this. And if this is the case, I support it. So I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for giving me the chance to talk.
Great, thank you. Jackie, before I call on anybody else, I don't know if you've got a copy of the motion that's pending, because I think talking about the $700 a day, and that's not pertinent to what we're discussing here now. So If you want to take a minute and read them the motion. Thanks,
John, for the clarification. And we know that. I have the motion up. Guys are more focused on when the federal funding's aren't available and the default of the 40% or higher. They're concerned that, you know, without the council making a priority for having there be an action that looks at affordability of monitoring for the industry, you know, if they have to pay at a later point, they just want to make that a priority. So they know they're looking at the motion. They're just concerned that of the affordability at some point in the future, that they want to stress the need for that focus.
Okay, thank you. You have some additional people that want, does Al want to say something?
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Al Catone, Foster Fisherman. Yeah, the way I'm reading this, I mean, it says until federal funding is exhausted. So I know it says year one through four, but if federal funding is exhausted after a year and a half, then we're conceivably on the hook for 40% of the coverage rate. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so it's not 1 to 4, you know, it's not 4 years of, you know, observer coverage that we don't have to pay for. It's when it's exhausted. And even if additional funding is available after the initial funding is exhausted, there's nothing in there that says we don't have to come up with the first 40% of 100% coverage rate. So in anticipation of additional funding, I would like to get something in there that says that we're not on the hook for the first 40% of that. Because any kind of bill or any kind of tax on this industry for observer coverage is pretty much, you know, game, set, match. And I mean, if you don't realize that after all the comments you've heard over the last year or so, I mean, I don't know where to go from here. So, I mean, when you prepare to vote on this, you have to take into consideration, if you're going to vote for any kind of tax on the industry for observer coverage, you could be voting out half of the industry. I mean, do you want that on your conscience? So, I mean, I think we can clean this up a little bit to try to get a little more mileage out of this if additional funding comes.
Thanks very much, Mr. Catone. Anybody else, Jackie?
No, I think we're all set. Thank you very much for coming back to us.
Okay, great. All right, I think I'm ready to call the vote on the motion to amend, which is pending. Ms. Denise, please call the roll.
So one question, if I might, Mr. Chair, there was a question about, I just got an email from Mr. Reed. I think he wanted another word change, but I kind of lost track of where he wanted it.
All right, maybe we can call on Mr. Reed. He can point that out.
And I'm trying to find him because he seems to have.
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay, so in the section that says year 1-4, at the end of the second sentence where it says ASM and costs, put before the word costs, industry costs, please. Thank you. Okay, Tom?
I should be asking you.
Any objection from Ms. Alexander? I'm sure not.
No, okay. No objection.
All right, so now we're ready. Mr. Neese, please call the vote on the motion to amend.
Please answer yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Balzano?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Yes.
Ms. Eitri? I'll come back. I think I lost her, and I think she just texted me. Hang on a sec. I'll come back to Ms. Eitri. Mr. Godfrey? You seem to be missing some council members here, or at least I can't. come back to Mr. Godfrey. Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
No.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo? Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwine? Dr. Sissonwine?
No.
Mr. Tracy? Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Let me go back and see if I can get Ms. Etri. Ms. Etri.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. I had to disconnect at lunch, so I needed to get unmuted again. Yes, please.
Mr. Godfrey.
I think you have him muted, or yeah, you think you're
I am. I think I'm back. My vote is yes.
Thank you. The vote is 15 yeses, 2 noes, 0 abstentions on the motion to amend.
Great. Thank you very much. Now, please call the roll on the main motion as amended.
Mr. Gates.
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Balzano?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Yes.
Ms. Etri? Ms. Etri? I'll come back to her. Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
No.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwine?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Let me go back to Ms. Etri and make sure she's unmuted. Ms. Etri?
Yes, sorry.
16 yeses, 1 no on the main motion.
Thank you very much. I just want to commend everybody for kind of coming to the middle a little bit on this. Certainly nobody's happy with the final outcome, but I think this is a lot of effort and work that got us to this point. So thank you. Now we've only just begun on Amendment 23. So I'm going to turn it back over to Chairman Alexander.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate everybody's work on that. I didn't know if we were going to come up with a solution to that today. So now we're going to go through the decision document one by one and make the rest of the decisions that we need to make. Jamie, I'll turn it over to Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we turn to page 3 and scroll toward the bottom of that page, the next decision would be to discuss the sector monitoring tools available. There are 3 options available in this section. The previous motion speaks left out electronic monitoring, but doesn't define what kinds of tools could be used. So we would be looking for motions in section 4.1.2, which would identify the sector monitoring tools available for meeting the monitoring standards put in place in the previous motion.
All right, so I would make a motion. To accept the council's preferred alternative. Options 2 and 3. In section 4.1.2. Would that cover it, Jamie?
What I see on the screen, I think you just need to go ahead and state the council's final okay, preference. Options 2 and 3, not 4, in section 4.1.2. And so folks know what those are. That's the audit model, electronic monitoring option, and the maximize retention electronic monitoring option. I will send the text, whoever's writing the motion on the screen, to help you with that.
Seconded by Mr. Bellavance. So can Mr. Alexander, can either you or staff give a little rationale? Just that language is going to, I think we probably need a little bit on that.
Sure, I'll do my best, and I'm sure Jamie can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the council's intent to minimize cost of monitoring on the fishery, and electronic monitoring is a good tool for a section of the fishery. I certainly am a fan of electronic monitoring, not necessarily for myself, but for other boats that would like to use it. So that's why I chose those options. I wanted all the options on all the tools on the toolbox on the table.
Great. All right. Thanks for that explanation. We're going to go out to the audience first. Okay. Ben Martens, then Jeff Smith, then George LaPointe, then Maggie Raymond.
Ben, you're unmuted.
Sorry, muted myself. I'd like to encourage the council to consider adding option 1 to this preferred alternative as well, since we aren't going to be locked at 100% necessarily moving forward. There's a lot of value to allowing fishermen to use cameras even if the coverage rate is less than 100%. And so I think that when we first had these discussions, there was a lot of focus on that 100% number, and I think that adding some more tools to that toolbox for sectors as they're developing monitoring plans moving forward would be a valuable thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Smith with the Nature Conservancy. I'd like to speak in support of the motion. I think the council knows we've invested a lot of time and energy trying to develop workable, cost-effective solutions for monitoring the fishery, and that we believe electronic monitoring is one of those. Based on the analysis that we did, our own study that we conducted and the information presented in the EIS, it looks like EM can meet industry cost reporting requirements for about half the cost of using human beings, not to mention dealing with some of the health concerns that people have with having human observers on board their boat. So we support it for that reason. And I do also think it's important to point out that there is nothing in this amendment that requires a fisherman to take cameras on their boat. If a fisherman wants to deal with the logistics of observers and paying twice as much money to monitor their trips, they're free to do so. But we do believe fishermen should have the option to use a more cost-effective tool that work better for their businesses. So for those reasons, we support the motion and hope the council will too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. George LaPointe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. George LaPointe with Blue Harvest Fisheries. We also support the motion. And we understand, as has been said in previous meetings, that the maximized retention model is not operational right now, but we believe the motion will help set up the process for getting max retention operational as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Maggie Raymond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. I also support the motion. There has been a lot of public comments, and Mr. LaPointe just said as well that the max retention model is still in the proof of concept stage. And while we've heard some assurances from the agency that this model might be ready in 2021, I think it would be very helpful if the council encouraged the agency to produce a actual written plan on how that is going to be achieved by that time frame, who's going to be in charge of making sure that happens, because I'm not sure that, I mean, it seems to me that a lot of this approval of the audit model was dependent on, you know, a lot of people, not just the agency. And, but anyway, I think it would be helpful if we had an explicit plan that lays out how this is going to be accomplished by 2021 or 2022, whenever the agency thinks it can be accomplished. Thank you.
Thank you. Allison Lawrence, then Jackie O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. CLF also supports the motion. As stated in the DIS, additional sector monitoring tools such as EM should improve data quality, reduce uncertainty, and improve catch accounting. This is consistent with the goals of the amendment. For some vessels, EM can also offer a more cost-effective option and thereby extend the use of available funds for reimbursement. We urge council to support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jackie O'Dell, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We support this motion as well. We support tools that are going to help, you know, especially tools that advance technologies in the fishery. But we also just want to stress our great concern that EM has been portrayed as being the ultimate, you know, low cost solution for this fishery. And we haven't proven that yet. We don't have the standards that are necessary from the agency. There's a lot of unknowns that exist today that make us very, very concerned about how EM is being you know, sold basically within the DEIS of this action. So we definitely support this motion. We support advancing technologies, but we really caution that we may find, you know, without knowing what those standards are, you know, we're hoping that max retention will be a tool that will be approvable for a lot of vessels in this fishery, but without knowing the standards, we don't know if it ultimately will be a very viable option. So I just wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much. See no hands up. We're going to come back to the council members. Megan Ware, Vincent Balzano, Libby Eatry, Terry Alexander, Matt McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that was my cue to go. I would like to make a motion to amend to include options 1, 2, and 3. And if I get a second, I will provide rationale.
I'll second that, Mr. Chair.
Second by Mr. Balzano.
I was gonna say, I could take that as a friendly, John, if that helps speed things up.
Yeah, that works for me. If okay. That works for
Mr. Even Bell. Better, even better. Yep.
It does. That was going to be what I was going to ask. So thank you.
Um, All right, Megan, you want to give a little rationale, just so the other members are educated?
Yeah, sure. So option one is allowing electronic monitoring in place of humans at sea monitoring. And given we've selected a server coverage rate that may not always be at 100%, I think this tool is important to the industry, and I think it will provide potentially the broader adoption of EM. My understanding is the other options, so the audit model and the max retention, require EM 100% of the time. And if we have an observer coverage rate that's less than 100%, I think we may be disincentivizing the use of EM tools. So that's why I would add this as a tool to the toolbox.
Great, thank you. Next up, Mr. Balzano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm all set. That's where I was going to go with it. I support the motion as amended.
Okay, Attorney Etri.
Thank you. I wasn't planning on speaking to the change, but I'm not opposed to the modifications that were just made. I just want to reiterate what was said in the comments. I'm supportive of making sure that we have all the tools in the toolbox for the sector program to have options available that work for the very diverse platforms that we have within the fishery. I would just like to strongly reiterate the comment that was made by Ms. Raymond about the need to have a much more robust and transparent timeline process with deliverables with both the audit system and maximize retention when we move towards operationalizing the systems. I think that that's critical not only to help educate members of the industry about what the tools are, but it's equally critical because for those of us in the weeds trying to implement these programs, it's impossible to do when we don't have critical bits of information before deadlines are due. So I'm just, you know, echoing that, and hopefully we can work with the agency to come up with a process that's a little bit more structured moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to say that I support the motion as amended. I say Megan and actually jumped ahead of me on this. I would like to point out that option one is definitely an opportunity for members of the fishing industry to kind of get a feel for the electronic monitoring program. It has been used for the past couple of years to entice people to join into the program, moving up into the audit model. And I don't think we should take away something that's kind of like the training wheels for EM. It's an opportunity for guys to explore, is this for them for the long term? As to the other two options, I can't say anything bad about them other than there are some issues with EM that hopefully that the agency and sectors are willing to work through. While we are adopting these moving forward, there are some issues that I'm a little concerned with through implementation process. But overall, I would support all three of these options.
Great. Thank you. Dr. McKenzie and then Mike Pentney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'm fine with both the motion and the motion to amend. I voted no in the last motion because I think we lost an opportunity there. But I think this motion goes a long way in getting us there, perhaps through an even better way. So thank you for both the maker and the maker of the motion, the maker maker of the motion to amend.
Great, thanks. Mr. Pentney.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a question and then a comment. I've heard this referred to as a motion to amend, but also it reads as if it is the main motion. So can we just clarify whether this is a motion to amend the main motion, the underlying motion, or is this the main motion that's on the board?
So this is the main motion. Ms. Ware made a friendly proposal to Mr. Alexander, and he accepted that to include an additional option. So this is the main motion as amended by a friendly amendment.
Okay, then my comment was going to go from strong support for the original motion made by Mr. Alexander to very strong opposition to the motion now. I think the inclusion of option one is really unfortunate. Everything that we have been doing to design and operate the EM approaches that we have been working on for the last several years is premised around the idea of promoting having the cameras on 100% of the time and then selecting the smallest possible percentage of trips to subject to review. We know that one of the most expensive ongoing costs of EM is the video review, and we want to minimize those costs as much as possible. If you recall our letter from last fall on our EM approach, where we laid out our stair-step approach to video review percentages, that entire concept, that letter was again based around the idea that the cameras are on 100% of trips, and then the video reviewers are able to randomly select a subset of trips as subject to video review. And in the first couple of years, it's a higher review rate with the full expectation and desire to reduce that review rate down to something on the order of 20 to 30%. That's where you get a significant cost savings by minimizing the amount of human review of the trips. What option one does is basically say, we're gonna only turn the cameras on if there would have been a human at-sea monitor on that trip, and we're gonna have to review the video from every single trip that the cameras are on. So let's assume, given the preceding motion, that the minimum level of observer coverage we would have in a year is 40%. Then we will be reviewing the video for 40% of trips. If the under option two or three, where the cameras are on 100% of trips, we're getting to a place where we're only reviewing 20 to 30% of trips. And maybe that number can go lower as the industry gets comfortable and effective with the EM tool. So option one, in my view and the view of my team, is actually more expensive than options two and three, because it requires video review of 100% of trips for which the EM cameras are on. So I strongly oppose this and hope that we can get it stricken from the motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pinckney. Okay, John Papalotto.
Yeah, thank you. For all the reasons that Mike Pinckney just mentioned, as well as my belief that if you only have to use the camera when turn the camera on when there'd be a human observer, you haven't done one of the greatest things that the EM system can do, and that's really quash the observer effect or the bias that's present. So for that reason, I've lost track. Are we in a motion? Is this a motion to amend, or is this the main motion as perfected?
Main motion is perfected by a friendly amendment.
All right, I'd like to move to your preference, substitute or amend, Mr. Chair. I'd like to take option one out.
Okay, I think it's probably easier to a motion to amend.
Okay, motion to amend to remove option one.
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, seconded by Mr. Pinckney. So I know there was some hands up. If you can shift gears and now speak to the motion to amend, but in speaking to that, you could be speaking favorable to the underlying main motion. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Papalotto fixed my problem, because I wasn't okay with the friendly motion. So now that we have a motion to amend to remove option one, I just want to speak in favor of that also. Thanks.
Okay. Ms. Etri.
Thank you. My hand was still up, but luckily it was still up. So I am going to speak in opposition to the motion to amend. While I greatly appreciate the explanation that Mr. Pinckney gave in speaking against the what I affectionately call the flip the switch option, I think that it does lose sight of the fact that we have some very diverse platforms and individuals within this fishery, some of which actually conduct a large portion of their fishing activity on things such as baitskate, that because of the way their fishing activity is deemed a sector trip where they're subject to monitoring, but their actual catch composition is quite low on groundfish. And so when faced with potentially having to abandon utilization of the camera system that they currently have for turning it on 100% of the time, I think that that creates a disincentive for them to adopt electronic monitoring. I personally don't think I'd be supporting the flip the switch option for a lot of platforms, but there are a segment of individuals in the fishery that this could be a really valuable tool for them, and the cost associated with them would be minimal compared to what it would be to have a human on board or the camera on 100% of the time. So I am going to vote against the motion to amend, and I'm going to support the underlying main motion. Thank you.
Great. Dr. McKenzie, then Mr. Gates, then Mr. Salerno.
Forgive me, my hand was, that's an artifact.
Okay. Mr. Gates.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak in favor of the amended motion here, the motion to amend, for all the reasons that Mr. Pentney brought up. Thanks.
And Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Dr. Chair. I would just like to point out under the rationale that the regional administrator pointed out was that actually these vessels would actually be having a higher level of review, which we understand, which would also have a higher level of accountability as opposed to those that are only being reviewed at 25%, 15%, whatever they end up in the audit model. I also want to point out that this model, the ASM replacement model, actually does answer some of the questions that we've heard over the past year or so of what I refer to as observer bias. You know, it does give actually the fishermen a higher level of accountability through their actions because they are under a certain amount of threshold to actually successfully complete tows. So if a fisherman has three tows, he needs to have three complete tows of data for that trip to be approved as not a fail, as opposed to an observer can have two tows and take one tow off, and that's still considered an observed trip. So I would have to point out that these vessels will still have a high level of accountability as opposed to just having a human on board. And just to point out, I cannot support this motion to amend. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to call a vote on that. And I don't want to sound like a nag, but I got to say it, that this is exactly the debate that should have occurred in the Groundfish Committee. Mr. Chairman Alexander is trying to put these motions together on the fly, and just about everybody that just spoke is on the Groundfish Committee. So I'd like to really urge that we do our committee work going forward, because this should have been discussed at the committee level. With that, Mr. Neese, please call the vote on the motion to amend.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vote on the motion to amend, yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
No.
Mr. Balzano?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Yes.
Ms. Etrig?
No.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
No.
Mr. Salerno?
No.
Ms. Ware?
No.
Dr. McKenzie?
Yes.
Mr. Hrushevsky?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwine?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
No.
Eleven yeses, six noes, zero abstentions on the motion to amend.
Thank you very much. Now please call a vote on the main motion as amended.
Give me 1 second. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Balzano?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Yes.
Ms. Etri?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Mr. Ware? And Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
Yes.
Mr. Oshevsky?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwine?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
17 yeses, 0 nos, 0 abstentions.
Thank you very much. That motion passes. Back to Chairman Alexander.
Yeah, I believe Ms. Etri has a motion for the next section. John.
Okay.
Hi, I do, but I just learned that I sent it to the wrong people and Joan is en route. So Sheree, I just sent it to you too, but Tom has it and Jamie does. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that Joan was having internet issues. So this motion is specific to knowing the total monitoring coverage level timing. So just did it show up?
No, it hasn't. No.
Okay, so the motion is to select 4.1.3.2 option 2, knowing total monitoring coverage level at a time certain as are preferred. And if I get a second, I'll explain why I'm selecting this.
Seconded by Mr. Gates.
Thank you. This is probably something that many around the table were not assuming we'd have to take up, considering the fact that prior to this morning and afternoon's discussion, this option was set up as only being necessary if we continued using the current CB method for target coverage levels. However, in thinking through the motion that we passed in the beginning, tying coverage levels to funding available for 4 years and then the option for 40%, I thought it was appropriate because there is a dire need of industry having knowledge at a time certain to choose this option, which would require the agency to notify sectors 3 weeks prior to the annual sector enrollment deadline what the coverage rate would be for the next fishing year. This will enable sectors to plan both for membership fees and also structures.
All right, so that's the rationale. We're going to go out to the audience first, commenting on this motion. I see no hands. Back to the council. Mr. Pentney.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So this is really just a question to the maker of the motion. Is I understand why, you know, this is important. I guess my concern though is that the first motion we passed expressed, you know, basically it's all built around if the funds are available to the agency, we should be reimbursing 100% of industry costs for the monitoring program. I guess my concern though is this implies that if we don't have an appropriations bill in by the certain date that would be expected, what do we do? In other words, if we are, say we're in a continuing resolution scenario, like we will hopefully be tomorrow, then do we say 3 weeks in advance of the annual sector enrollment deadline, we don't have supplemental funding, so industry is on the hook for paying the full cost of 40% coverage. And then a month later, or 2 months later, when we get an appropriations bill, we get enough funding that we could cover 100% of the industry's cost at 70%. I guess what I'm trying to understand is how those two scenarios would play out in the perspective of the maker of the motion. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Eitri?
Sure, thank you. So thank you for that question, Mike. I understand and appreciate what you're saying. I would say in practice, on more than one occasion, industry has been told to plan to pay for monitoring only to have funding arrive at the 11th hour. And while we're grateful for it, it's actually not a bad process to follow because it enables us to plan ahead. So while it does seem slightly a little bit counterintuitive to maybe, prepare industry to cover the cost of something only to have it available later, it is something we've worked with and we're quite used to. And within our system, it's better to prepare for the worst than try to react to the worst at the 11th hour. Also, I think it's important to remember that our annual enrollment deadline is typically linked towards the completion of our framework process. So that falls into the late winter, early spring, leading into the next fishing year. So like it would be 2021, February of 2021 earliest for fishing year 2021. So I'm never really going to claim to be an expert on the appropriations process, but I think the idea is at that point you should have a fairly good sense, hopefully. But if you don't, and industry needs to start preparing to pay, then industry needs as much lead time as possible to prepare to pay.
Okay, I see no other hands up. So, Ms. Denise, please call the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please vote on motion on the board, monitoring coverage level at time certain. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Balzano?
Yes.
Mr. Belvance?
Yes.
Ms. Eitri?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey? Hang on, he had to sign out and back in. Mr. Godfrey?
Yes, sorry about that.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Abstain.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwein?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Vote is 16 yeses, 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. Back to Chairman Alexander.